Well, I'd like to thank Mary for running the Children's Fellowship while Renee's gone. And I'd like to thank the youth group for taking all the Christmas decorations down. And make sure you guys are all here next week and the 2 weeks following, because Matt will be speaking. He's got 3 weeks of something really hot in his heart he wants to share with us. The name of my lesson today is God Bless Texas. Now, thousands of years before the Spanish occupied that space of land below Oklahoma, it was occupied by Native Americans. And they had a name for the area. The Spanish pronounced it Texas, which means friend. Their Texas motto is friendship. I get a lot of trivia stuff on my emails. Different questions on quizzes and things like that, and a word of the day. Well, a few days ago, the word of the day was laconic. Laconic, L-A-C-O-N-I-C. Of a person, speech, or style of writing, using very few words. Now, my wife accuses me of being a little chatty when I go to the store and I'm talking to strangers, but I've heard comments that when I'm up here, my lesson is quite as long as some of you would like. But I would much rather have you wanting me to say more than to stand up here and watch you fall asleep in the pews. However, I will try to make sure you guys get your money's worth from now on. One of my sources of information on this lesson is from Our Daily Bread. I'm going to read part of it to you. This is for February 2nd, and it's called Deep Friendship in Christ. There's a monument in the chapel of Christ College, Cambridge, England, dedicated to two 17th century physicians, John Finch and Thomas Baines. Known as the Inseparable Friends, Finch and Baines collaborated on medical research and traveled together on diplomatic trips. When Baines died in 1680, Finch lamented their unbroken marriage of souls that had lasted 36 years. There's been a friendship of affection, loyalty, and commitment. Now, 2 years after Baines died, Finch died. And he was buried in the same grave. Now, they were thought of as the best of friends, but they considered their relationship a marriage. So they were reputedly gay. Now, originally, when I was doing research on these two guys, I was thinking that I had read that one or both of them had a degree in philosophy. But I wanted to confirm that, so I went back to my sources, and I was wrong. Neither one of them did, even though they were highly educated men. They had all kinds of degrees. They were surgeons. But neither one of them had a degree in philosophy. Now, perhaps, if they had lived longer, their next step in education might have been the Bible. The Bible says philosophy is Greek. Philo means love. Sophie means wisdom. Philosophy, philosophy, means the love of wisdom. Now, of course, the best place to receive wisdom is from God and His Word. Please turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. So apparently God doesn't think it's such a great thing to be gay. Now save that spot, because we'll come back to it later. Okay, now I'm going to read some more from our daily bread. It says, King David and Jonathan had a friendship equally as close. They shared deep mutual affection and even made vows of a commitment to each other. Their friendship was marked by radical loyalty. Jonathan even sacrificing his right to the throne so David could become king. When Jonathan died, David lamented that Jonathan's love to him had been more wonderful than that of a woman. Please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Second Samuel, chapter 1, verse 26. This is David talking. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, I'm quite sure that David was not gay. If you go back to Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 20. All you have to do is look on the other page, the opposing page if you're in the blue book. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 says, If a man also lie with womankind as he lieth with a man, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Now, that's the second time God said that, so I think he means it. Now, Proverbs says, the man that finds a woman is blessed. Now, obviously, that means a good woman, a woman that is faithful and loves God. Now, everybody knows that I'm married. I love my wife. But I have a special place in my heart for friends. I always have. Friendship is very important to me. That doesn't mean that I love my friends more than my wife. That'll never happen. And I don't love them like I do my wife because I'm not gay. And David was not either. Men can love each other without having a physical relationship. Now, after David became king, he had Bathsheba's husband killed so he could have her. Now, that's not something a gay person would do. Now, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. Now, this is someone else I know wasn't gay, said this. John 15, 13 says, Greater love has no one than this, than lay down his life for his friends. That was Jesus speaking. You guys, this I have the fortunate, I have red letters in my Bible. It's much easier for me, but I'm reading out of the blue Bible. It's easier sometimes. And that's what most of you guys read from. But you get the point. Jesus said, Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Period. I'm going to read you the definition of what a friend is. Friend. A person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of a mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. Okay. Now, I was still working on this lesson when we got hit by that ice storm. I know you guys are trying to forget all about that, but that's part of life. And I'm sure there were a lot of us that learned what a friendship really is. Now, I'm sure you do, and everyone else. We had help. Connie's dear friend Carol came over to our house and took us home with her because she had electricity. So we were cozy as a bug in a rug for the week that everybody else was out of power. Now, that's something a friend would do. Please turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Talking about Abraham. Now that's the same word here, friend, which means philos in Greek, as in John 15:13, that Jesus said he would lay down his life for his friends. Same kind of friend God had with Abraham. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now that's the definition of that, of his name is Abraham who loves me. That's what God called him. If you want to search the Hebrew in the translation. Now God created everything. You can go outside on a clear night and look. Everywhere you look, you're going to see something. And what you're looking at, the stars, the moon, other planets, are millions of miles away. God created all that. He created us in His own image, of course, but for Him to have that potential and still give us the ability as mere mortals to be His friend. So even God needs friends. Please turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people?" Wait a minute. Sorry, wrong chapter. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a friend speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp." See, Moses was God's friend too. I'm sure God wants more than just two friends, especially if those two are dead. But they are both in heaven, I'm sure. Please turn to Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms 133, verse 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That makes God happy when we get along as friends. It says brethren, which is the Greek, or excuse me, the Hebrew word brethren, ekim, which means he whom Jehovah has set up. Now that's a pretty good friend, I would say. Now please turn to the book of Job. Chapter 2. Job chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Now, when you guys all know who Job is, I'm sure. He went through some bad times. And here's, it's just getting started here. Now, when Job's three friends, now, I'm not sure, I didn't research this, I didn't have the time or desire, but it says, when Job's three friends, I'm thinking that that's all the friends he had. He doesn't say three of his friends, it says his three friends. "When they heard of all this evil that was come upon Job, him, There came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him. Now, it's not like they lived across the street or on the other side of town. These guys lived in lands far, far away. But somehow they all heard of the things that Job was going through, and they all got together and said, hey, he's our friend. Let's go see what we can do to help him out. That's what friends do. Book of John, chapter 3. John 3:29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He was happy for his friend. His friend was getting married. He's probably single, hoping he was the next one in line, catching the bouquet of flowers. But he was happy for his friend. That's what friends do. It's not always about me. It's about you. You're my friend. I will lay down my life for you because I love you. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We all know what giving and receiving is, the law of giving and receiving. You give, you're going to receive. You want a friend, you have to be one. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so to minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Basically, what that means is we all have certain gifts, things we can do. Tim knows how to play music. I know how to swing a hammer. If you have somebody that's in need of somebody to play music, or somebody wants me to drive a nail for them, especially if they're my friend, I'm on it. I'm there. Name the time and place. Use your abilities that God has given you to bless other people. Otherwise, what's the point? You can walk around bragging how good you are, but so what? What do you do for other people? That's what counts. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend, a hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. We're all supposed to love our brothers. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But of course we love our friend, otherwise you wouldn't be his friend and he wouldn't be your friend. A good friend, which is a neighbor, is better than a brother far off. You keep your friends close. 3 John chapter 13. 3 John, that's after 2 John, right? Okay. 3 John, verse 13 and 14. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, if we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. All right, you can get on the phone, you can talk, and you can blah, blah, blah. But if you have the opportunity to go see somebody in person, shake their hand, give them a hug, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, almost every relationship I have had with a person, good or bad, almost every one I have learned something. Not always good, depends on the relationship. Not always bad. But learning bad things is a good thing, because next time you know not to do that bad thing, or don't do it with that person. That person is bad, so don't hang out with them. Not that hard to figure out. Okay, back to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I already told you, we have the opportunity or the ability to be friends with God. So you're going to have to make a choice. You either be friends with God, or you be friends with the world. Sure, you're here, you make friends with stupid people, bad people. You have a good time. When it's all over and that horn blows, you can be standing with a smile on your face, and you can be going, well, I really, really wish I hadn't done that. I should have stayed with God, because he was a good guy. Book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms 37, verse 30. It says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Now that's a real friend. Thank you, Father, for the people with open ears being here. Thank you for all my friends. Thank you for the friends that I will have later. I thank you for me having the ability to be people's friends, treat them right, and do for them what they can't do for themselves. I thank you for them forgiving me when I make mistakes, say stupid things, and do things I shouldn't. And I will never intentionally hurt somebody's feeling if they are my friend. Thank you for all this. Thank you for a wonderful day. And let's all go out and make a friend. In Christ's name, amen.